Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible in the Bible's own way. And we have another exciting message in the lesson of Fundamentals of Dispensationalism. And it is a couple things going on. Happy Father's Day to the fathers out there. And we're hoping that you have a blessed day. Also, it's the first day of summer. Many of us has been looking for this day from fall, from winter, now spring, now summer. So enjoy this day. You know, it kind of reminded me a little bit of the fact that, spring came like 2 or 3 weeks earlier. And that, I think that threw many of us off because we was like, okay, why is it still 40 degrees when I wake up in the morning type of thing? But anyway, it is the first day of summer. And also, it's the National Vanilla Milkshake Day. So as you take your dad out, make sure you get a vanilla milkshake and share it with him. It'll put a smile on his face. Prayer request, praise items. This past week, we lost a dear saint in Georgia. She always watches us on our broadcast and encouragement and stuff. And she had messaged me back in first part of June, and said she wasn't feeling that well, and we lifted her up in prayer. But anyway, she's gone with the Lord, and there's a young man that works for Sherry. He's also passed away Friday, so keep his their thoughts and prayers in your mind, and lift them up to the Lord. I know many of us are feeling sick. Many of us may have health issues, financial issues, whatever the case may be. It does seem like it's sometimes it don't get better, but you know what? When you're in Christ Jesus, it makes a difference on how you feel and how your mindset is. Let's put it that way, because you can sit there and say, "Oh, woe is me! Oh, woe is me! Nobody loves me!" That type of thing, and that's not true. God's love is the fact that He came to this earth and died and was buried and rose again for our sins, and that's you can't ask for a better love from God the Father. And keep that in thought and prayer as you think about people that you may know and you may be ministering to. So we do thank the people that's supporting the ministry here. We thank you for your monetary donations. It goes a long way in broadcasting this on Boxcast. Don't forget the Grace School of Bible Summer Family Bible Conference is July 17th through the 22nd, 2020. And the theme is putting our world back together again. And it's going to be some wonderful things, talking about volition, talking about family, talking about marriage, talking about a national institution, and talking about the local church. So there are going to be 21 speakers there, 21 messages, and it starts on a Saturday night and ends on a Thursday. Yours truly will be there. I think a message Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock on Godly Fathers. So I'm throwing some things around about that. You know, it's Father's Day, and it's not really going to be a Father's Day message, but what I'm thinking about is doing the Tales of Two Fathers. And an earthly father and a heavenly father, or father your devil, or father the creator. So there's different ways on the way we do it, but we know the way the family is broke down. Many of us don't have fathers in the home. Many of us never had a father in the home. So that's kind of hitting home a little bit, how I was brought up. But we look forward to that, seeing you guys either there or through video or internet connection. So all this messages stuff will be live on we'll let you know where you can find that and all. So with that being said, let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the time. Thank you for things you've given us. We thank you for the word of God that we can lift it up to you, and in return you give it back to us, and we can rejoice in that. Father, we thank you for the time that you have given us on this earth and the grace that you bestowed through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson 13, and we're working through fundamentals of dispensationalism, and that means dispensationally thinking, dispensationally looking at the Word of God. And I wholeheartedly believe God is a dispensationalist. You know, He never changes from yesterday, today, and forever. So he's the same. But the way He dealt with man is different. You know, the way He dealt with Adam is different. The way He dealt with Moses, the way He dealt with John the Baptist, we're getting ready to talk about, the way He dealt with Paul, the way He dealt with what He's going to deal over here. Different way He's dealing with the way He dispenses the knowledge and understanding and wisdom that we get through His Word, and what they had gotten in times past, what we're getting today, and what's going to happen to in ages to come, is very, very important to understand God's Word. And once again, we preach out and teach out the King James Bible as the authorized version for the English-speaking people. And what the main theme of this Bible is all about, and don't be scared about this, it's about the authority of a throne over the entire universe. And it's very, very important to understand the battle that's going on between Satan and the Lord Jesus Christ and the authority that they want. Well, we know who Jesus Christ is. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, what God is doing today, and what He has done in times past and all. So when we come to John the Baptist, you come all the way over here in John the Baptist, and in the earthly ministry of Christ Jesus, you find, as found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that the kingdom that have been promised over here about a nation and a land and a kingdom over here, and is promised and preached, begins to appear. Before it wasn't appear. And then it starts to appear over here. And not just prospect, but it begins to pre-offer to the people there. And Luke 16, be turning John chapter 1, but Luke 16:16 says, the law and the prophets were until John. So until John the Baptist over here, all they had was the law and the prophets. And since that time, since the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. So he's talking about this time period right here. John the Baptist comes on the scene and he's talking about a kingdom of God and how they press into it. In other words, prior to John the Baptist, all there was a revelation from God was the law and the prophets, like I just shared. With John, something new is added to that, and the kingdom of God is preached. Okay? And this is a good hope for them because they were looking for that. They went in captivity way back over here, and Nebuchadnezzar captured them. And well, where was the kingdom that then? And there was like, a lot of them didn't give up. Daniel didn't give up. He knew the times was 70 years. He had to go in captivity. Well, he was a young man. We found out he was an old man before he left. But it was a time before he died to show them it was time to get back into the land. And John comes on the scene and preaches, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now he begins to tell Israel that the kingdom has been promised, has been prophesied, and is coming, and is no longer just something that they're telling you about. You know, how many times have we gone, yeah, he'll be here. I'm going to tell you, he's going to be here. And he's coming, that type of thing. But it's ready to be offered, if you will. It's going to be at hand. And it's important to remember when you're reading John about John the Baptist, a new opportunity is coming for the first time in Israel's history. And it's the kingdom that has been prophesied, and it's ready to be and to realize that it's happening. And something new has been added to the message. The reason is John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from who? God. Okay? Whose name was John. So God the Father sent John the Baptist. David didn't send him. Okay? The prophets didn't send him, but God Himself had sent him. And there have been, you got to remember, from John the Baptist, over to Malachi, between Malachi and Matthew, there's 400 years of silence. God did not speak audible to anybody. He did not give them signs, but what did they have? They still had the law and the prophets. They still had the word of God. And with some things we're going to look at here in a little bit, realize that Israel was a sign nation. They had to see things. Now, in your mind, in your religious mind, some of you still think that you need a sign from God, okay? Some of you may think that you need to have sign, wonders, and miracles going on, or you don't think God's with you. God's not working that way today. And there's a reason for that. When it did happen, even in Paul's early epistles days, the fact that the Gentiles had those tongues, the Gentiles had those signs to provoke Israel to jealousy, to get in the body of Christ over the fallen, the ones that was not saved, I should say, Israelites. Now God sends them the man, John the Baptist, as a messenger. Verse 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. So what is he saying there? John the Baptist wasn't the light, but he was sent to show the light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew not him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now there was a Messiah, the light, and John is not the Messiah, okay? But he came bear witness of the Messiah, and who's the Messiah? He's the Redeemer. He's the one that's coming to redeem Israel because of their fallen nature. And John's witness was very clear about that. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John the Baptist is a voice. He's a preacher. He's a proclaimer. And you know, that word proclaimer is, what's he proclaiming? Good news. Back in the day of the chat rooms and stuff, and Yahoo chat rooms, I have I could not go in as Brother Ed in Jewish chat rooms, okay? Because they knew I was a Christian, and they'd just ignore me or wouldn't let me in there. So I changed my name, which is my email addresses, as Dispensator. Dispensator is someone who dispenses, who proclaims. And they let me in and start talking. I was wanting to learn about their heritage and all that stuff and different things. But John the Baptist is also a proclaimer. And he is one that's coming to proclaim the word of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. And John is sent from God to prepare the way of the Messiah. So he's there out there. You think about this a little bit. Wilderness. What happened before? We live on US 40 out here, and it's called the National Road. And it ended but over here in Cumberland, Maryland, was as far as it got. And Thomas Jefferson authorized an extension, a national road, to go into the wilderness. So they had somebody going out in front of them. And we can be thankful for that, because now you can go all the way across America, can't you? All the way across, you don't have to worry about going through creeks and unless they rise. You have a way. You have a path. Many of us have an interstate system. And some of us do not veer off that system. And, if you ever got on 40 and you took off west and you went through all these little towns, 22, all that stuff was around here, You see a lot of those towns have suffered, but that's something else. But that's not what we're talking about. The thing is you get on the right path. You get on a path and you make your way straight. Verse 4 says, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now, John was a priest. And you know who his daddy was? Zechariah. He was a priest. So there was a Levite. So he came from that tribe of Levite to become a priest. Now, he was 30 years old. And here in this passage, he should have been down at the temple being ordained as a priesthood. Okay, what do we find out about a priesthood over here? They had to be washed. They had to be baptized. They had to be cleansed. They had to be ceremonial cleansed. And as a man being ordained in a priesthood, he would have certain kinds of clothing to wear. The garbs, you know, the holier than thou. They had some beautiful garments that they wore, all from down to the hem, all the way up to the top of their head. They had some wonderful looking clothing. But what did John the Baptist have? Camel hair and a leather girdle about him. So he did not even look like a priest. Okay? Think about that for a minute. How many of, you know, a lot of people frowns down on people wearing ties and stuff today or dressing up. Well, you're just not with it today. You know, you just need to wear shorts, you know, and sandals, you know, that type of thing. And some of us wear, not some of us, but some people wear robes, don't they? And holy than thou. And knows how to hold their hands up and speak and all, and properly and raise money. That's what. But anyway, he's described as wearing camel hair and leather girdle. Back in Leviticus, you can see that the garments, like I was saying, is beautiful. But he didn't have beautiful garments, did he? You know, he didn't have what Israel's priests should wear. So I wonder how many people actually listen to him. You know, how many of those religious people, how many of those businessmen that wanted to be at church because they thought it's the right thing to do, and you know, there was a certain sect over there that wouldn't talk with this sect over here, that type of thing. You find that everywhere, don't you? And in Leviticus, the priest ate the meat that was sacrificed to the altar. What did John the Baptist eating? Okay, he's eating what?
Wow.
Locusts and honey. You know, he didn't have a storehouse that he went to that people brought a tenth of their spoils in to keep the priesthood going. You know, he didn't eat of that lamb and all was being sacrificed. That should tell us something, shouldn't it? I mean, think about it. You know, he was eating locusts. He was eating insects, honey. And if you look at this, you wonder, who is this guy? You know, who is out there speaking? Who is out there telling me that I'm going, telling them what they need to do? And if you go back to the Old Testament, you'll see it, who Elijah was. And that was a picture, and John was wearing exactly the same garments and eating the same thing as Elijah was way back over here. So with that typology is coming down the thing, many people saw John and understood him. So there is John, separated from idolaters, corrupt priesthood, calling unto himself those that would repent. And those who recognize the idolaters' condition of the nation and change their mind, that's what repent means, changing their mind about worshiping idols, and who would identify together with the believing remnant going into a kingdom over here. I'm going to close this up for a minute or two. And so John the Baptist is talking about getting right, getting straight, getting into a kingdom of priests. He's actually a priest, into a kingdom over here that they've been promised and they have been prophesied. And the thing is, people believed him because he said all of Judea and Jerusalem and Judea was baptized of him except lawyers and Pharisees. Okay, that's the religious group. And when John the Baptist says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it is not the same as if they were to say, receive the kingdom, take it. Okay, that's not the same. And John never actually offers the kingdom to Israel. The kingdom is at hand. You understand that. We've talked about that constantly. There's a Bible over here on the table. It's at hand. Okay, I can say the Bible's at hand. But until you go up and I go up and pick it up and offer it to you, that's not the same. They really don't get offered a kingdom to right here in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And John declares the kingdom is at hand. He says, look at the king. And John points out the king because there can receive the kingdom, they will need to have a what?
A king.
They have to, okay? And they have to have a king to go in there. And John identifies the king who will bring that kingdom. And when he says the kingdom is at hand, he's not offering a kingdom like Peter does in Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4, that type of thing. But rather, he's pointing to Jesus Christ. Make his way what? Straight. He's pointing. He's the porter, if you will. In order to get on the train, you go through a porter. Okay? In order to get in a door, you go through a porter. And that's who John was. He says, here's the king. The kingdom is coming. And the king will bring the kingdom here. And accept the king, and he will bring it into the kingdom. Okay? Verse 5. Then went out to him, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him, confessing their sins. So, where's he at? He's in the River Jordan. Okay? And he's not downtown Jerusalem. Okay, he's not walking to church after church. Let's hold hands, sing kumbaya. Let's get together. Can't we do this? Can't we all get along? He's not doing that. He's outside calling. That should tell us something, that knows the gospel, the grace of God. You don't have to belly up with a bunch of people. You just stand straight and stand firm and preach the gospel. The word of God that comes out of this Bible into the hearings and into the hearts and into the souls of the believer does not come back void. Okay, even a lost man, if you preach the gospel or tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ, it don't come back to God void. It's going to come back to him either way, okay? The receiver might make a choice of not doing it, but all we have to do is just share it. And it's a sad thing today that many of us won't talk about the gospel, you know, and won't talk about, you know, we was talking the other day and talking to a young man, and he basically said, oh, don't go there. But the thing is, people don't want to go to politics, people don't go to religion, okay? And that's the two things that you really need to wake up in your life and your mind to say, I don't want to be hoodlewinked. I want to know the truth. Because if you know the truth of God's word rightly divided, it will help you understand the truth that's going on in this world. So he's out there and we're baptizing him, verse 6, in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. It's almost like, yeah, let's go see what he's doing out there. Let's, you know, remember when Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead? They went out and partied that night at evening. And there was Jews spying out, finding out how they can kill Lazarus again. You know, when Paul goes to Jerusalem to meet with Peter, James, and John to tell them that God, what God is doing with his ministry and the dispensation of grace, that he's not working through laws and all this stuff back over here as far as the prophecy program. They was Jewish people spying out their liberty, trying to find out what they're doing. Well, what are they doing here? Same thing. So he calls them a generation of vipers. And this is the root of Israel's problem. It's their leadership. Now, my wife and I have been around this dispensational truth probably about 23, 24 years or so. And I used to get upset with the people sitting in these churches out there because of the fact that they should know better. But when you pull up to the church parking lot and you unscrew your head and you put it in the glove box because you say, I don't need it. The preacher's going to do all of my thinking for me, or the leaders of that church are going to do all of my thinking for me. Whose fault is that? One, it's really yours. Two, It's leadership. So the leadership of the nation Israel was committing fornication with other idols, okay? And what I'm getting at is it was their leaders was the problem. So the leaders that preaching a different gospel, leaders not using the Word of God rightly divided in the King James Bible, that's the problem. And they got people in there, and all they're worrying about numbers. And I got to thinking about that, you know, people probably goes up and down through here and like, there's only one car in that parking lot. You know, that type of thing. Why ain't his church full? Well, it's really up to you to be here. You know, I encourage you to be here. But the thing is, if your leader is producing other doctrines, that's who we should go after as a dispensational preacher. You know, not go out there with acts like John the Baptist. We're getting ready to see what John the Baptist is going to say. But the thing is, go talk to him a little bit. And many of us have talked to leaders of the churches. And they're so wound up in their man-made doctrines that they don't see the truth. But you plant the seed anyway. The people was generated a generation of what? Vipers. Now who's a viper in the scriptures? Satan. And John 8 tells us, ye are your father the devil. Whoa. You know, that'd be a good Father's Day message, wouldn't it? Is your father the devil? That type of thing. Spiritually, they have gone off into apostasy and idolatry, into abomination things. They're doing things that God told them not to do. But what are they doing? They're doing them puffing up their flesh. If you don't think your flesh can make a difference in what you're doing out there, you're fooling yourself, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Pride comes before what? Anybody, and I'm convinced of this, it's pride that holds people back from getting involved in a dispensational church. You know, listen, grace don't take anything away from you. Grace gives everything to you. So when you preach grace, you have liberty. You have more liberty under the dispensation of grace of God than any time you could be put under law. I don't mean to preach at you, but I'm just telling you, it does get frustrated sometimes. And you need to understand that when you read the Old Testament scriptures, it's very clear that idolatry contaminated the people of Israel. That's why this line up here, this is what true Israel is supposed to be, okay? But if you can imagine another line down here, that's what they was following. Listen, there's a counterfeit out there before, now, and it's going to happen over in ages to come. He counterfeits everything that God is doing, and that's the devil. He's a liar from the beginning. And me and a friend of ours was talking about, you know, he's such a lie, he's a father of lies, that he is totally convinced that nothing's going to happen to him. And
narcissist.
Is that what that is, narcissist is?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay, so I also wonder what that thing is. People use narcissist. He's a narcissist. Well, okay. Okay, but Satan's the same way. And if he can convince you, hey, there's really no heaven, there's really no hell, that type of thing, you're gods. And that's been from beginning when Satan deceived Eve and said, you'll be like gods.
Mm-hmm.
You think she looked out there and seen other gods?
Sure she did.
Yep, she sure did. So, you know, It would behoove you to understand that there's a battle going on out there, that's the battle for your soul and your spirit. And if you get that right with God, man, there's a difference in who you can be. Now, this body is always going to want stuff, okay? I like CrossFit material. Well, you know, that type of thing. My daughter said, Dad, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, well, I just want you to be there for my birthday, you know, that type of thing. She said, well, I thought about you getting a cooler for your truck. I've got a cooler for my truck. She thought about getting me, something else.
A picture frame. That.
Yeah, a picture frame that, you know, rotates. We got one of those. And I said, I like workout material, CrossFit stuff. And but anyway, where am I going with that? That's the fact that what I want. You know, now, my wife tells me the other day, you know, our daughter got us these silicone rings because when you barbells and stuff, it flexible. Well, I thought about getting orange because orange is my favorite color, and Sherry's initials is S-A-Y, say. So I thought about getting an orange one with S-A-Y on it, and then it dawned on me, you know, all that, the rituals of the Antichrist is going around, say her name, say her name, say her name, and what they're doing is they're trying to get you to say the dead person's name to bring them up from the dead, but her initials is say, so say her name, and I'd be like, say, okay, Sherry. But anyway, you know, she's like, you're the hardest person to buy for your birthday or for anything. I'm like, well, you didn't ask me if I wanted a ring. You know, you got to ask things, but I'm not saying ask and you receive, that type of thing. But anyway, let's move on.
The struggle's real.
Yeah, the struggle's real. They had become unclean by joining the harlot system of the world, going after other gods. You have to be careful, even in today, in a dispensation of the grace of God, of going after other gods. You may not realize that. You may think that you're serving God the Father, God the Creator, and you know what? You could be saved, but you're serving another god. And so be careful with that, guys. Israel was bad in that by the time John the Baptist came on the scene. If he came on the scene with all those garbs on there, the religious system probably jumped all over him like, yeah, he's one of us. Think about that for a minute. That was committing spiritual adultery and fornication. They were fornicating with other gods, something that God told them not to do. And the so-called generation of born of your father, the devil, continues. Old generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He's talking about this tribulation period over here that's going, he's warning them. Who's going to warn you? He's going to warn them, ain't he? And bring forth thereof fruits, meats of repentance. It's not just good enough to say, yeah, I repent, and you keep on doing what you're doing. He wants to see fruit. Fruit is good in the Bible. Fruit trees that produce fruit is good, okay? And think not to say to yourself, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to rise up children unto Abraham. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Mm-hmm. It wasn't good enough to be Abraham as our father, like this, you know, that type of thing, okay? It's right here. They're saying we're not of the devil. We are our father of Abraham. And John's telling them that outward production was not the issue. It's always a heart issue. Where is your heart at? Matthew 3:10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not good fruit is hewed down and cast in the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that come after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's telling them Jesus Christ will baptize them, not us, the body of Christ, them, baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire when he comes back over at the second advent. Now, something very, very interesting in that verse, what he says, now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Religious leaders, if you're not producing fruit, the axe is at the root. It's getting ready to kill that tree. That's how you kill. You can cut a tree down right now. If the roots are still living, what's happening? It'll sprout up again. You have to get to the root of the problem. And that's what he's saying here. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost was on the believing remnant to empower them also that they would be able to preach the gospel over here of the kingdom. And the baptism of fire, the second advent, is a baptism of judgment in verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. That's the believers going into that kingdom. Whose fan is in his hand. That fan is a pitchfork. Okay? You don't fan wheat with a fan. Everything blows. But a fan is a pitchfork. You pick it up and the chaff falls here and the wheat goes into the garner, goes into the holding pen, goes into the place. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire over here. If you think that you're going to get by with just your good works and all that stuff and without a heart issue changed over here, you're going to be burned up. And the tribulation in the age to come is for the purpose of purging out the rebellion and unbelievers of Israel. It's not going to be good. Listen, he tried water. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. And then 1:2, the earth was found without form and void. God, I believe, flooded the universe because of a rebellion. Okay? And there was sin in the creation that Satan convinced 1/3 of the angelic beings to follow him. And God flooded the universe. Then he separated it. Then he put man on earth, okay? He made man out of dust, and he breathed in his nostrils and became a living soul. God's image. Man is the image. That's what man means, image of God. And then what happened there? Genesis, 9 and 10, 8, 9 and 10. The world became corrupt again. That sin nature that Satan brought down there to the fall in the paradise, he flooded the earth again. The next time, he's not flooding the earth. He's going to burn it, okay? That's going to take care of all them amphibious group that follows Satan out there in that water, in the deep. And he told them, you have to get this right. And Israel was apostate in time past, so God begins to call out the nation of Israel a believing remnant. Now, remnant's just something small, isn't it? So just something small. And they were to be called to become identified together with the means of John, the baptism of John over here, that he preached, the baptism of remittance for the remission of sins. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the issue of the kingdom of heaven is at hand, with the middle wall of partition still up, that the Gentiles are still down here. And become a part of that believing remnant, because the wrath is going to come and destroy the unbelieving, after which Messiah will bring into the kingdom over here. Listen, there are not going to be no unbelievers walking that kingdom over there. The message that John the Baptist is preaching has a title in your Bible. And it's very, very important that you understand this title. That the title message is verse 17. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is exactly what John the Baptist preached in Matthew chapter 3. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manners of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Notice what he's doing here. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel message at that time, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is called the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? The gospel of the kingdom is being preached right here. John the Baptist preached it. Jesus Christ has preached it. And the word gospel means good news. So the good news of a kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Wouldn't that be good news if you was looking for a kingdom? You know, you've been told since Abraham, 2,000 years, 4,000 years, you know, that type of thing, way back there, that you promised some land. People die. You promise some land. People die. You promise a kingdom. People die. And you're like, is it ever going to come? Well, you know, you do things on God's schedule, right? God don't work around our schedule. Amen. And the goal of the prophecy is a kingdom. And John the Baptist is warning the kingdom is coming. And if you want to get in the kingdom and escape the wrath that will come before it, you need to flee from the wrath by getting right with God and getting in that little flock of believers over here. Okay? He didn't, the whole nation as their leadership rejected him. And the wheat will be carried into the garner. Okay? And the believers that are going to get into the kingdom and the unbelievers are going to be purged away. And the message is called the gospel of the kingdom. Notice in verse 23, it says that the Lord Christ healed all manners of sickness and all manner of disease among the people as he preached the message. Go to Isaiah chapter 33. Get Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah, you know who he was. He was a prophet, right? He was what we call one of the major prophets. And he prophesying about, not the time that was right there, but he's looking at prophecy. And he's speaking of a kingdom and who would get through the time of wrath preceding it. Chapter 33, verse 14, 15. The sinners of Zion are afraid. Fearful. Fullness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Here's a question, right? You want to know who it is? He that walketh righteousness and speaketh unrightly, he that despised the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Man, that sounds like politics, don't it? Taking bribes, closing your eyes so you don't see evil. Whoa. Verse 17. The eyes shall see the king and his beauties. They shall behold the land that is very far off. These people get through to the kingdom, okay? Verse 22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. Thy tacklings are loose, they could not well strengthen their mass, they could not spread their sail. Then is the prey of the great spoil divided, the lame take the prey. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their what? Iniquity. So what did the Lord Jesus Christ do back there in Matthew? Heal all manners of sickness? Mm-hmm. Okay. So what will happen when the kingdom comes? Go to chapter 35, Isaiah. Chapter 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto them, the ecstasy of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord as the excellency of our God. You know who they shall see? Christ. They're like, whoa, there's the Rose of Sharon. Verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. We'll see his coming with vengeance, pouring out his wrath to what? Save them. Now, over here, the Antichrist sees that coming. He claims that Jesus Christ is the devil. He's coming back to taking everything away from him. And there's going to be people set up to fight Jesus Christ over there. But this is telling the believing remnant that, hey, it's coming. The vengeance is coming. The wrath is coming. But he's going to save them that believe. Verse 5 through 10. Then, when your God comes, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an harp, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. Inhabitants of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. So there ain't going to be nobody out there attacking you, attacking them. And a highway, we're talking about make your way straight, shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go upon thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sight shall flee away. Sighing shall flee away. That's going to be a great day over there, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, a highway straight to glory. And not no stairway, a highway. Right in the promised land over there. And in the book of Matthew, Christ comes and preaches the gospel of the kingdom. And he preaches it, and he heals all manners of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. That's the God I serve. And he did it over here for a reason. And to all those people with physical ailments, he preaches the kingdom message and then does what will happen in the kingdom. Heals them. He liberates them from sickness and disease. In all reality, isn't that what we're looking for too?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the body of Christ, when he takes us out of here, listen, every one of us is going to die. I believe that. You know, death, where is their sting? Okay, when you're in Christ Jesus, death ain't going to sting you. Now, you know, you're going to sorrow for the people that's died, right? But the thing is, if God takes us out of here today, catches us out in an event called the rapture, this body is still going to die. Okay? And you will see what he did that in John chapter 4. Go to John chapter 4. You know, our time with you is very short. I know an hour seems like a long time for some, but it's short when you get into these scriptures and you take your time and also John chapter 4 verse 46. I said that because I'm looking at everything we need to take care of, but we always got another day if the Lord tarries.
Amen.
And I, you know, the thing is, we need to encourage each other to study this out. Don't take my word for it. And for $3.99, you can get this tape. Just joking. The messages are on our website and our YouTube channel, and you can go back and listen to them. That's why one of the reasons why I numbered them. You're like, where was that lesson at? It's 13. Been something if last week, the 13th of June would have been the 13th lesson of June, that type of thing. It don't mean nothing. Superstition. But anyway, John chapter 4, verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not what?
Believe.
Is that a good thing? You know, no, it really isn't. But here's what he said. What's he going to believe? Believe what?
That Christ is the Messiah.
Believe the message. You know, and Mark 16:20 says, they went everywhere preaching the word, and the Lord confirming the words with signs following. Corinthians talks about the Jews require a sign. Psalm 74:9 says, we see not our signs. They're sign people. And the signs and miracles were the birthright of that nation. And when Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, he came giving a foretaste of the world to come. And they literally saw the powers of the world to come demonstrated in their midst as he preached that message, because the kingdom to come was exactly what was going to happen. So when you go back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, that was just the reason Christ was healing those people is in connection with the message that he was telling them that he's going to be liberated and from diseases and illnesses. And they got that foretaste. There's nobody going to be lacking in that kingdom over here that he sets up. Okay? You're going to be made whole even there. Matthew 9:35 says, "And Jesus went out about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Matthew 10:1 says, "And when he had came, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of disease. And the name of the 12 apostles are these." Matthew 10, 5 and 6 says, "And these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, or into the city of Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, with that being said, the wall is still up. And the message is still exclusively for Israel. And the reason it was that way is because you find it in verse 7. "And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And you see that he sends out the 12 apostles there. He sends them out to preach the same message that John the Baptist preached over here. The same message that he himself, Jesus Christ, preached, the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is a message that is being preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And therefore, it's important to understand what message it is and what message of the gospel and what is the message of the gospel of the kingdom. I like to end it there. Well, not end it there. I like to stop it there because we got a lot more. You know, you're going to look at some things that their daughters want to be healed and all that stuff. And the thing is about what he's doing in here, it's not good enough to feed his children. They have to be filled, okay? And that's what this process is over here. He's picking out a believing remnant to fill them up with the Word of God so they can feed people over here, that the Gentiles will come to the light over here. That's been the issue over here. Israel supposed to have been the wonderful nation that God set forth as a child. God the Father wanted his child to be who he was in this world. You know, many of us want our children to be who we want them to be in this world. And sometimes we get upset because they're not following our footsteps, don't we? Mm-hmm. But that's not what God wants us to do. He says, train a child up in a way that he should go. Okay? And when he gets old, he won't depart. So when you bestow the Word of God in the hearts of the believers, even your families and your children, and they gets down there and seated, and you feed them that, when they get older, it'll come back around. They'll know who they trust, because I believe this. If you're a lost person today, and when I mean lost, you're separated from Jesus Christ. Your spirit is cut off. The soul is still God's, okay? And it's always searching what God's doing. I mean, if you look at creation out there, and you see, well, wow, you know, this just didn't happen. God created that. That's a conscience that God puts in you. But when you know, when you find out that I'm lost, I'm going to spend eternity away from God and the people that love God, that believe God, and you're going to spend eternity in a lake of hell, that's not a good thing. And you will spend eternity down there. But God sent his Son, and he died for us, and he was buried and rose again. And that payment, that blood that he shed on that cross, is a payment that is substance for one. And it paid a sin debt that you and I can never pay for. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how many churches you go to. I don't care how many checks you write. Okay? It will not get you to heaven. That blood, that single drop of blood, paid for your sin debt in full. Not partially, in full. And by believing that, your spirit becomes connected with your soul, that now you can talk to God the Father. Abba, call him Daddy. In other words, they don't talk to him. But now it can. And now you get in the book, the Word of God, rightly divided, and you understand what God is doing in the dispensation of grace right here, that he's forming a body. And we have some words and letters written to us in Paul's epistles through Romans to Philemon that will help you understand what God is doing today. And all this other stuff will fall into place. But all this other stuff is to you, but it's not for you. If you never trusted Christ Jesus, died for your sin, buried again, do so today. Because today is the day of salvation. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, if you want to help out with our ministry, just come by and see us. It would be great. And two, you can go to our website, www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. There's a donate button there if you want to donate to our ministry. Our YouTube channel, our Boxcast app. If you're not familiar with the Boxcast, you can go on the App Store and download it. If you got iOS system, it's great. You can put it on your Roku, you can put it on your Apple TV, and you can get notifications, subscribe, and boom, you can watch us anytime, past messages, and also we look forward to seeing you what you think about that, because it's a wonderful way you can get the Word of God out. Okay, until next week, God bless you.